Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you very much indeed. Hello, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. We welcome on the panel this week our four regular, witty, impossible, irrepressible players of the game. And they're going to try and talk, as usual, if they can, on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do it without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And we begin the show this week with Clement Freud. And Clement, the subject that Ernest has chosen is the best game. Would you tell us something about that in the contest, starting now?
The very best game is when two people go into a room, each with a bottle of whiskey, and they drink all that is therein, and then one of them goes out, knocks on the door, and the other has to guess who it is. Quite a good game, which just could go for the best game, is to approach the chairman of Just a Minute with a stink bomb. You step on it, and the smell is so absolutely foul that the entire program has to be put back by a quarter of an hour, causing enormous distress and inconvenience to the competitors who had appointments for dinner and were, in fact, moving to Cambridgeshire in order that elderly ladies with nothing better to do than wait for their members...
Derek Nimmer has challenged.
Deviation is not talking about the best game now. He's complaining about being late for his dinner appointment.
I think he had got well away from the best game. So, Derek, you have a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject of the best game starting now.
Almost the best game in my experience is...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, he's talking about almost the best game. That's not
well, I think
good.
It doesn't matter, Peter. You could say almost the best game, or the very best game, or not the best
game. I thought we wanted to talk about the best game. Isn't that the subject? The best game.
He's not...
Well, almost the best game isn't the best game. It's
right.
Almost the best game.
Right. I think that's one of those impossible decisions that I have to make on occasion. So what I will do, I will bow to the...
It's a very easy decision. Yeah. It's just you find it impossible to make it.
No, I find it quite easy to make it, but the trouble is that I'm going to get all kinds of brickbats. Everybody can interpret it in different ways.
Well, we just haven't got the best chairman, have we?
I'm going to let the audience... so I'm going to let you judge. Now, if you agree with Peter's challenge, then you all cheer for him. And if you disagree, then you all boo against him. But you all do it together now. I think the cheers have it, Peter. So you have the subject... And you have 12 seconds on the best game starting now.
Well, I think patience played with cards is probably the best game because it means that there's no...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. You say you can't have almost. No, you're saying probably
the best game. So, by the same token, you have 7 seconds to take over the subject of the best game, starting now.
The best game should be allowed to hang for as long as possible before you actually consume it. Otherwise, the flavor...
So, when Ian Messiter blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking that moment gains an extra point. And on this occasion, it was Kenneth Williams, and I'm sure you'll be delighted to hear, at the end of that round, he has a commanding lead over all the others. In fact, he has 100% more marks than they have. He has two, and two of them have one, and... Derek, will you tell us something about Parbuckles in Just a Minute, starting now?
My son, Piers James Alexander Nimmo, is at a preparatory school called The Dragon in Oxford, and his housemaster is named Richard Kershaw Sudbury Parbuckles. The reason they call him Parbuckles is, of course, he is a father himself, and all the boys lovingly shout every morning, "Hello, Parbuckles," when he comes down the stairs with his handy slipper, which he whacks them with. Sometimes on the game field in the middle of a game of rugby with the Fijians around, he's been known to cry, "Parbuckles."
Clement Freud has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, there's a hesitation. What on earth? I'd have called deviation all those Fijians at his son's school. I don't believe it for a minute. Clement Freud, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, and you take over the subject of Parbuckles, and there are 25 seconds left starting now.
Parbuckles is sort of nautical. like a rope, which they call a sheet. Or it might even be a knot, which they call a clove, hitch, lasso, or noose.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
No deviation. It is not a knot.
No, but he said it could be.
It can't be a knot.
It is a rope.
He was giving an example of how this word...
Carbuckle is a rope. It can't be a knot. It's a rope. It's got to go up and down. A knot can't go up and down. What are you talking about? A knot's for tying, you great nit.
He was sticking to the subject of carbuckles and giving examples of a different kind. And
how can a knot be a part you're talking about? It's a rope for raising and lowering articles. How can it be a knot?
It is not a knot. And I'm not going to have an argument about it.
It can't be a knot. It can't be a knot.
But it doesn't matter. It's not...
Lie matters to me. It matters very much to me. What do you mean it doesn't matter? I think it's important that these people here are given an accurate account of these things. Otherwise, they're going out of this place full of misinformation.
But a few weeks...
Is that what you want? A nation of illiterates walking around not knowing, not having any idea all their lives what a parbuckle is? They all know. She's dying to know what a real parbuckle is, and I happen to know.
Kenneth... Clement's already told us a real parbuckle is, but give us an example. You've done your little bit. The audience loved it. We'll get back to the contest. It was an incorrect challenge. Clement wasn't deviating from the subject. He keeps it. There are 13 seconds left, starting now.
In a ship's chandler's shop in Leighton Buzzard.
Derek Limbo challenge.
Repetition of ships.
Yes. You did mention the word ships before.
Not ship's chandler's. Ship apostrophe S.
You're quite right, yes, it was ships before on the floor, and this was ship apostrophe, yes. I'm sorry, Clement. Ten seconds on parbuckles.
Prefect at school, you've always been terrified of Freud, haven't you? Ships apostrophe. Loads of rubbish. You ought to resign.
All right. The man who caught the game is sitting beside me. Esther, apostrophes and plurals, are they different words?
No, but
they are. Thank you very much.
If you're given a word like checks, it can be all different kinds. It could be checks with an apostrophe.
The man who thought of the game says that the decision was right, so Clement keeps the subject, and there are 9.5 seconds on parbuckle starting now.
And they strung up the chairman by a parbuckle.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
No, because a parbuckle can only be used for carrying cylindrical objects.
Yes, you could.
Of course you think of it.
I withdraw my challenge.
And a cylindrical object that could be strung up as a parlor by a parbuckle. Derek Nimmo, parbuckles with 4.5 seconds, starting now.
Barrels can be hoisted up by parbuckles onto the top of a roof where they will be found to be very useful.
Kenneth, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is the most extraordinary person I have ever met. That's the subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
The most extraordinary person I ever met was actually... Don't do that. He's doing it deliberately.
Peter Jones' challenge.
Hesitation.
No, I wasn't hesitating. I was saying don't do that. He's just sitting there looking at me and making funny faces and trying to put me off.
Well, I know, and he succeeded.
In the rules of the game state that you should be allowed to proceed.
It says
in the book without let or hindrance.
There's a book about it. You're making up new rules we've got on. Kenneth, I do believe that you were obstructed, and I don't think that's fair play.
Thank you.
And I said before I'd like to see fair play, so I'm not going to allow the challenge, and you keep the subject, and you have 53 seconds on the most extraordinary person I have ever met, starting now.
She was on this pier and was actually covered in hair. I know that sounds fantastic, but you see, it was the most extraordinary person I'd ever met. And a sort of slushing sound came out on every sibilant.
Repetition of...
Don't be absurd. That's not repetition. That's not repetition. know it's absurd. I can smoke like shut
you. Yes! You did, you repeated.
You heard that tape, then the sound of I and T, which recurs in a sentence, but also to call repetition. That's ridiculous. Thank you. Thank you.
The audience is part of a word. You made a definite noise.
Don't be absurd. I said on the sibilance there was a slushing sound and then illustrated it. Yeah, you're going to tell me you can't illustrate it. You can't. Then you might as well say, oh, well, consonants are in the line as well. So are vowels.
Well, Kenneth, if I were to take you literally, if it goes through the whole of that episode for 60 seconds.
If I say some enchanted evening you would see a stranger across the crowded room, that's not repetition. Not repetition. I'm always being unfairly used.
Kenneth,
you know, they try to make a bat of me.
Kenneth, you're not unfairly used. I gave you a tremendous amount of rope and you invariably hang yourself with it. But, no, I'll give you a bonus point for your brilliant demonstration, but I disagree entirely. And Clement Freud has the subject after repetition and there are 37 seconds left. The most extraordinary person I've ever met, starting now.
The most extraordinary person I've ever met was hanging from a power buckle and looked like a cylindrical object. He swung backwards and forwards in the high wind, and investigating the appearance carefully, it was none other than Nicholas Parsons, our friend. About time, people said,
Kenneth,
they walked
you challenged.
By.
Did I?
Yes.
What was the basis?
Nicholas Parsons, repetition.
Oh, that's right. He said he was.
And we don't want too much of him in this show, do we? So, Kenneth, you get the subject back, and there are 17 seconds on the most extraordinary person I've ever met, starting now.
He was entirely black and was on the upper berth in a train, which was...
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Deviation. He's already established the most extraordinary person I've ever met was covered with hair and was a lady.
Yes, I'm afraid you did.
Haven't you ever heard of a sex change?
It was a brilliant attempt. I'm tempted to give you another bonus point. But actually,
don't
the thing
tempted,
is...
dear, do it. Come on. Train yourself.
If you're the most extraordinary person in your world that had a sex change, they still couldn't have changed colour.
Yes, that's right.
No, that's right, yes.
Have you ever heard of blacking out?
Oh, blacking up. No, I'm sorry. There are 13 seconds with you, Derek, on the most extraordinary person I've ever met, starting now.
The most extraordinary person that I've ever met was a woman with amazing measurements. 38 breasts, 22...
Peter Jones' challenge.
No woman could have 38 breasts.
I did establish.
I know. You meant bat.
No.
He meant bat.
I mean, that's why she was extraordinary. I mean, I don't expect a normal woman to have 38 breasts. It was just this particular woman.
I think you deviated far too far.
The subject on the card is the most extraordinary person I've ever met. Now, if you saw a woman coming here with 38 breasts, would you not think that was a trifle odd? In fact, might you not say this was extraordinary? That's what I was
saying. No, it would only be odd if she had 37.
By every token, I think Peter Jones deserves the subject. He's going to have it. He's got his first point in this game, actually. And he was our winner recently. Peter, you have 4 seconds to take over the subject. The most extraordinary person I have ever met, starting now.
This woman wore an evening dress with a cricket belt round her waist, and she had cigarettes...
Well, that was one of those subjects that produced all the hilarity that we enjoy so much in the game. And, Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, blowing bubbles. Talk on blowing bubbles, 60 seconds, starting now.
I remember I used to be sat in my garden, a little smock with a bowl in front of me and a clay pipe with which to blow the bubbles. I used to puff down the thing, and away they would waft
through the cherry blossom and through all kinds of manner of spring flowers.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Well, he said through at least twice.
He did say through twice, yes. Yeah. He repeated the word through, and so you have a correct challenge, Peter. You take over the subject, a point for the correct challenge, of course, and there are 44 seconds for blowing bubbles starting now.
Well, it's really no occupation for a grown man, or woman for that matter. They last very little time, and they're not particularly...
Clement Roy challenge.
Men and women last for a very little time.
No, the bubbles.
He had it established in my mind that the bubbles didn't last, because we
Well,
know
my God, if I established it in your mind, it should have been clear to Clement.
I can see we're going to finish the series the way we started it. But in spite of the remarks, I will show you how fair I am. Peter, I disagree with the challenge, so you have a point and you keep the subject, and you have 36 seconds, blowing bubbles, starting now.
And they're not really very pretty. You can get the same effect by treading on a piece of orange peel in a puddle. All the same colours of the rainbow emerge. And, of course, they last a great deal longer. But blowing bubbles...
Clement Freud challenge.
I did, didn't I?
Yes.
Yes, you must remember.
There was a hesitation. It wasn't very long.
No, it wasn't.
I wouldn't allow
it. It wasn't long enough for me to penalise.
No, I agree.
So, but you tried hard.
Yes, I
did. As always. Yeah. And there are 23 seconds on blowing bubbles. Still with Peter, starting now.
I suppose if I really set about it and could equip myself with the right kind of plastic and a pipe which would...
Derek Limmer, Jared.
Hesitation.
There was hesitation there, yes. There are 13 seconds for blowing bubbles with you, Derek, starting now.
I'm forever blowing bubbles. Pretty bubbles in...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition.
What?
Forever blowing bubbles.
A clever challenge. We give Clement a bonus for his cleverness. Derek Nimmo, a point for an incorrect challenge, and he keeps the subject and continues with 10 seconds starting now.
They fly so high, nearly reach the sky. Shall we have a chorus all together? One, two, three. I'm forever.
Well, that's 1 point for Derek Nimmo for speaking when the whistle went, and 10 points for the audience. In fact, as there are quite a few, let's give 100 points to the audience, and then they'll be the winners at the end. They're not going to have a chance to score, will they? Kenneth, the subject is jockeys. Will you tell us something about them in just a minute, starting now?
They race down the course at Epsom and Ascot.
Clement Freud has challenged.
They don't. Yeah. It's the horses.
That's a lovely challenge. Let's give it a point to Clement for that lovely challenge. But metaphorically speaking, I'm sure a lot of people say the jockey was racing because they raced on the horses. So, Kenneth, keep the subject. You started with it, and you have 51 seconds left starting now.
They have given their name to a most famous item of underwear, and everyone has reason to be deeply grateful for this incredible service. I have found...
Derek Nimmer has challenged.
Well, not everybody. Ladies don't have to be grateful. Do.
Well, I think some ladies do wear jockey pants, don't they?
And others are grateful to people who wear them.
No, it's a good idea, but I don't think, actually... No, he was deviating from the subject.
But I mean, sort of... Hawaiian gentlemen aren't grateful for jockey pants because they don't wear it. What about all the Scottish listeners that we've got? They have not made jockey pants. Not everyone is grateful for them.
Sorry, the conversation's going the same way again.
The garden worms aren't grateful. Kenneth, you continue with the subject. There are 41 seconds left with jockeys starting now.
A well-established fact for jockeys is they need to be light, which is why I am such a brilliant expert. exponent of the art. When I appear, they cry, "Here he comes, Mr. Lightweight himself. Always welcome at Newmarket, Ken Boy," they shout as I enter the arena, wearing the colours, of course, of my favourite employer. Will I name him? No, obviously, in a case like this, I better not, because I would be accused, would I not, of paying cheap publicity. And that is something I will never stoop to. No, I am a man of principle. You only look at me and you say, "Here's a jockey with principle. He used to run me a dirty race. He'd have been wasted."
Herman Freud has challenged.
Oh,
sorry.
What was his challenge?
Principle. Two principles. But I take it back.
No, no, except you had it, boy. No, you had it, Clement boy. Good old Clement boy. No, go on, you have a go, love.
Well, Kenneth has very generously, he was really in full flow there, and I think he'd almost won the race, actually, in his imagination. But I'd love to see him on a horse. The Clement, there are 2.5 seconds with jockeys starting now. Yes, Peter Jones.
Hesitation.
Yes. So it's neck and neck still with our two leaders. There are 1.5 seconds on jockeys with you, Peter, starting now.
They're not as nice as boxer shorts.
So, Derek Nimmo's still in the lead. Clement Freud has pulled up a little into second place, one ahead of Peter Jones, and Kenneth is in fourth place, and Peter begins the next round. Peter, the subject is the writing on the wall. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I saw this poster saying, "In outer space, no one can hear you scream," and someone had written underneath...
Clement Freud is challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, it's the writing on the wall, not on a poster.
Well, the poster was on the wall.
But the writing was on the poster.
Well, I think... listen, I think we give him a point for a very clever challenge, but he wasn't, strictly speaking, deviating from the subject, so Peter keeps the
How can it be a clever challenge if he's challenging something that I haven't done?
Because the writing was on the poster.
I thought it was
not
an idiotic challenge.
The poster was on the wall, but the writing was on the poster, so there's a subtlety, and so I give a point for him spotting that.
You call that subtle?
Like a monkey for a rabbit.
Right, Peter. The writing on the wall is still with you, and you have 47 seconds left, starting now.
And I often find that on the walls of different places that I visit, the most amusing comments by humorists, who are really quite inventive, like the classic one of "A Happy Christmas to all our readers." I always enjoy that. It comes round at least once a year. And the,
Kenneth Williams
is... Well, there was a lot of erring going on.
Yes, he was... he erred indeed. And there are 26 seconds for you to talk on the writing on the wall, starting now.
"The moving finger, right hand having writ, moves on. Nor all your friends..."
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, if you can't... I mean, the finger can't actually write. This is a Freud-type challenge. It has to be... It has to be holding a pen, pencil, piece of chalk, ballpoint, or whatever.
If we're going to have all these kind of metaphysical challenges...
Is that metaphysical?
Well, what the... I don't know, but you can't... Go on, do you want the audience to judge on this one?
No, just the extra point, congratulations, and move on.
Peter, I think you're absolutely incredible. Congratulations. That's a marvellously clever and inventive challenge. You get a bonus point for that. I've never heard such subtlety and wit and metaphysical thinking and erudition. And so you have a bonus point for impossible challenge.
Well done.
Kenneth Williams keeps the subject with 17 seconds on the writing on the wall, starting now.
"When something is presaged propitiously, they often say... he has seen the writing on the wall," meaning that he has gained, through this prescient nature, some indication of what will occur in time.
So So much to the pleasure of our audience, Kenneth Williams kept going to the whistle, went, gained an extra point for doing so, and is still in fourth place. But he's only just behind Peter Jones, and he's only 1 point behind our joint leaders, who are now Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo.
This is the last show in the present series, and so we've got a very apt subject, When We Meet Again, which we all ardently hope. So will you talk on the subject, Derek, in just a minute, starting now?
When we meet again. Gosh, it can't be for at least 6 months, I suppose. With any luck, I hope perhaps we might never meet some of the people in this team ever again, but I suppose it could happen. But then, when we do confront one another, we'll have all the same boring things to say. We've been chatting to one another for the last 11 years.
And Kenneth Williams challenged.
Deviation. He has maintained that we have boring things to say. Me, boring? I mean, this is the most wasteful allegation I've ever heard. Everybody knows I am the spirit, the party spirit. People say to me, you're the life and soul. I mean, they all think I'm the most diverting, original, brilliant, energetic creature that ever walked across the stage. And here he is, this airplane, we're going to have the same old boring rubbish.
Well, I must say, then it's the first time I've heard anybody promote himself and get a round of applause for it. So by that, do I assume that you mean that Kenneth Williams... I'm sorry, it's my cold. Kenneth Williams' challenge is correct and he should have the subject.
Yes!
Kenneth, will you tell us something about when we meet again in... And there are 37 seconds left, starting now.
When we meet again, the spirit of... I meant to say joie de vivre, and then I thought bonnet over the windmill, and it came out as bois. And then I thought, I can't make it bois de ballon. I'm dying.
So, Clement Freud challenge.
I understand my predicament.
Yes, oh. Yes.
We often... I was ejaculating like mad there.
Clement, what is your challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, there are a lot of other things as well. But... So this may be the last round, so it looks as if we're going to hear from all four of our worthy panellists. And there are 33 seconds left for When We Meet Again, Clement, starting now.
When we meet again, there's every likelihood that each of us will be wearing the same awful, boring clothes which we now have on, because if ever there was sartorially a shoddy show, this one has got to be it, with the occasional departure from total inelegance.
Jones' challenge.
Well, I can't allow him to drone on like this because he's committing professional suicide by advertising. I mean, a lot of people don't realize it's boring. They've been enjoying it.
And a lot of people know that there are some very well-dressed people on this program, including yourself and Derek Nimmo, and we're not going to mention anybody else. We're going to hear from you, which is very nice, Peter. So we've heard from everybody in the last round. There are 14 seconds. When we meet again, starting now.
Well, I only hope that we shall be given more interesting subjects. I'd like to talk about Marcel Proust and his later years, for instance, and not have this subject given to Kenneth Williams.
I would Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of subject. But we haven't heard from Ian Messiter, perhaps.
Well, Ian Messiter, there are 2 seconds left. Will you take over the subject now of When We Meet Again, starting now?
I'm very glad you've asked me to talk about When We'll Meet Again, because time's up.
So, Ian Messiter gets a point for speaking when the whistle went. And at the end of that round, which is also the end of the contest, I will now give you the final score. Ian Messiter gained 1 point. He finishes in fifth place. He's never spoken before in the game, and he's not likely to do it again. 3 seconds he kept going, so we must applaud him for his arduous attempts. If I haven't mentioned it enough already, this is the end of this particular series of Just a Minute, so I'm sure each one of our four regular panelists would like to briefly say goodbye. So, first of all, Kenneth.
Bye-bye, and thank you ever so much. It's been really wonderful for you to have me.
Clement Freud?
With which sentiment I would like to... I would like to associate myself.
You would. Peter Jones?
I'll say bye ditto in case somebody buzzes and...
Derek Nimmo.
Goodbye.